sticking to you, but it certainly has stuck to me. Because I love that God is involved in everybody, and He's not trying to pull rank and have this person be the anointed one and the super Christians. It's about us joining together as a family, as a body, as a bride to reach this world for His name's sake. Amen. Thank you. And I pray this morning that whatever I say or speak, you don't fall under condemnation. But if the Lord needs to rebuke you, let Him rebuke you. If the Word needs to correct you, let the Word correct you. If you need encouragement, if you need refresher, just let Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Okay? But what I like to do before I ever teach is I like to go before Him. Amen? And Brother Bob, their little time up here doesn't count. Okay? All right? The clock hasn't started yet. So will you pray with me? Will you worship? Will you steal your mind before your Lord, your King? Father, we just love You. You are who You say You are. You're a good, good Father. And I was thinking about the parable of the talent. I was thinking about how He thought You were a hard man. But we've learned that You're a good, good Father. All things that are good comes from You. We worship You today. We worship You. We thank You, God, that our lives have been changed. We thank You, God, that You're so amazing. That You would rather die, Jesus, than have heaven without us. We thank You that You made the way, Jesus, so that we come boldly before the throne of grace this morning. We thank You for the bread of life. Oh, we thank You for the bread of life. And our food is to do Your will this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask You to speak, correct, rebuke, teach, guide, lead, whatever the person needs, God. And when we walk out of here, we're a unified body, loving You, loving people. Father, You created us in Your image, and that's what You're trying to get us to. It's the renewing of our mind, that our lives would be transformed before You. It's so beautiful. You died so I can live, Jesus. King Jesus. King Jesus. We lift up Your name and Your name only. The precious, magnificent, majestic, most powerful name that the world knows. His name is Jesus. And we lift up Your name that You would draw all men to You, God. I don't want to come with the persuasion of words, Lord. I humble myself before You right now. That, Father, You would speak to hearts and that Your power would flow. Holy Spirit, that You would flow. Why not today be the day, Lord, where change occurs, where breakthrough happens and suddenlies begin? Why not today, Lord God, for bodies to be healed, the dead raised, and the leper cleansed? Why not today, God, families be reunited, people be reconciled to You? Why not today, Lord God, You reveal something in our heart that is holding us back, that's not taking us to the deeper waters, that is holding us back to the shore, God? That we become untethered and we go head over heels into You, God. Why not today? Why not today be the day where a group of people unified, loving You under one spirit and one baptism of fire, walk out of here loving the people of Henry County and the surrounding areas, Lord God. Father, let us not hang our hats on yesterday. God, let us press on and press forward. Oh, Lord Jesus, teamwork makes the dream work. You've put us together as a body. Let us embrace the role that You have given us. For You have placed the body. You've placed people in the body as You so please. So today is not about us. It's solely about You. What do You want to happen today, God? What do You want? Oh, we thank You, Father. We thank You. We love You. We praise You. We adore You in Jesus' name. Amen. God's people said, amen. So be it. Luke chapter 10. Now, Eric is better about notes than me, but I'm going to do me, okay? Right? If you want me to give you some takeaways, just listen throughout and jot a few things down. But you have your Bible, so you have everything you need. Okay? And guess who else you have? You have the Holy Spirit, the living God burning in you. He shines light. Jesus says this, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, so the momentum's building because it was 12, right? And he sent them out two by two. Teamwork makes the dream work. Before his face into every city and the place where he himself was about to go. And he says something kind of disturbing after this. He said to them, the harvest is truly great. So the potential is there. Now you have to stay with me. As soon as if I hear inspiration, I go. The harvest is great. That's amazing, Jesus. But the laborers are few. And when Jesus tells us to pray for something, our ears need to perk and we need to have ears to hear. Because I've coached sports and we say the Lord's Prayer before the game. Why? Because Jesus said, pray this way. Well, what does he say? It says, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. God is looking for sent ones, ladies and gentlemen. And we all need to look into the mirror to say, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Why would Jesus say that the laborers are few? In the business world, even the businesses that study the church says that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's a shame. Because that means a large portion of the body of Christ is missing out. And that breaks my heart. It's not that I'm mad at anybody. It breaks my heart for people that don't see what their purpose in life is. Because I truly believe, and you can disagree if you like, I truly believe you can't grow in Christ until you're willing to go. I get it. At Pentecost, he said, pray and stay. I got corrected last night. He did say pray and stay. But after the fire, consuming fire of the Holy Spirit come upon him, it was time to go. Flip it over to Luke chapter 14. He wants us all to play. He wants us all to be a part. Luke 14. Verse 15, and let me just kind of give you what's going on. He's having a dialogue. They're talking about suppers and sitting in the place of humility. Not always looking for the top places, right? Yes. And he's saying, if you even have a supper, you guys, invite not your family and the businessmen and the highest officials. Invite the blind, the lame, the crippled. Because they have nothing to offer in return. Why? Because God wants us to love like He loves. Not like we want to love, where we just love the people that love us back. But love the people that have nothing to give us in return. That's why the pure and undefiled religion is the orphans and the widows that have very little to give. But you have so much to give. Prayer should be that God fill us full of His love. Not this earthly, sensual, demonic love that we like to say or do or to act out. He's calling us to go, to go, to go. And we sit, and we sit, and we sit. The parable of the Great Supper illustrates this. It says this, now when one of these who sat at the table with him heard these things and said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he begins to tell a story, a parable. He said to them, a certain man, God, who's represented here, gave a great supper and invited many. For God so loved the world that he gave. The invitation was Christ himself. Yes. Come and dine. Come and dine. And he sent his servant at supper time to those who were invited. Come, for all these things are now ready. But listen, we can be unified in the right way, and we can be unified in the wrong way.
It says, in one accord, with one mind, with one solidarity, they were galvanized by one thing, their excuses. It says, but they all in one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. How many of you guys would just buy blindly land without ever going and inspecting it? And he says, I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoking of oxen and I'm going to test them. I have to ask you to excuse me. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. He said these are excuses, not me. Are these things inherently bad? No. No, but they were the fallback to say, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to live for you. I'm going to reject you because these things of this life, the cares of this world, means more to me than following you, Jesus. And they all began to make excuses. You care if I highlight this a little bit more? Go back to Luke 9. I've seen this before. We'll come back to Luke 14. Go all the way to the bottom. Luke chapter 9. Today you can say we're talking about the cost of discipleship. It says, now it happened as they, verse 57, I apologize, 9:57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road, they said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. A boastful claim, right? Boy, we think that we're something sometimes when in reality we're not, because our words don't measure our life. I know that this is not the greatest sermon I'll ever preach. My life lived is the greatest sermon I'll ever preach. Because if I don't practice what I'm saying, I find myself to be a fool before you this morning. And either I'm crazy this morning or I'm right. One or the other. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Obviously he rested. What was he talking about? This is not my place. I'm passing through, guys. I'm not here to build my kingdom and build big houses and big barns. I'm here passing through because I have a mission from the Father, and I'm going to do what he says and say what he says, and I'm here to lay down my life for humanity. I'm not coming here to be served. I'm coming to serve. What if we took that attitude, church? Many material things would loosen their grip off of our lives sometimes. Many times I think we're dealing with the symptoms instead of the true problem, is that we won't die to ourselves. And then we still struggle. We struggle with our anger. We struggle with our lusts. We struggle with our pride. In reality, he's just saying, come to me. Then he said to another, he said, follow me. This is discipleship, guys. He said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. What are they beginning to do again? Make excuses. Is there anything wrong with attending your family's funeral? No. Let's not take it out of context here. But the people are saying, we don't even know if the father's dead. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You go seek first the kingdom and I'll take care of your life. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are at my house. And Jesus makes this stunning statement. He says, but he said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Yeah. I'm not saying it's you this morning, my dear friend, but I'm saying I've seen people in the church that have one hand on the plow and the other hand reaching for the world. According to this scripture, they're not fit. It's not that he doesn't love and that he doesn't have compassion. It's that they are always pulled the other direction when the other direction comes calling. Because what you honor in your heart is what will put the weight of your decision. And we are looking to Jesus and batting our eyes as hell, as the song says. Still flirting. We not may not full-fledged be in adultery, but we are still flirting with the world. And we shouldn't be. And then we go out here and look like hypocrites in front of the people we're trying to reach. Because we have a double mind and we have a double standard. How many times do we get angry about somebody else doing something when in reality you got to deal with the stuff that you're dealing with? It's a diversion tactic, so you don't have to deal with your stuff, so I'll start looking at somebody else's junk. And that's why he said, get the log out of your eye before you... And we become judgmental and critical. And we take God's creation, humanity, and start putting names and labels. Heaven help us, right? Please don't feel condemned this morning. Please be inspired by the Holy Spirit. I've been praying that God would put the fear of Him back in the churches.
Yes.
You know, the early church, they were so together and in one accord, breaking bread, simplicity of life, simplicity of the message of Christ. And we always want to talk about going back to there, but we got to do the things that they were doing, be unified, be galvanized, be solidarity, one spirit, one accord, going out into this world. And treating sin for what it is, the sabotage of the human soul. How many people around you see are self-destructive? How many people you see walk into church that walk out of here and are still self-destructive? Because there's a threshold they have failed to cross, where they've died to themselves and Christ is it.
Yes.
Now let's keep going. Luke chapter 14. Sorry back there in the media. It says, so the servant came, verse 21, and reported these things to his master. All right. Then the master of the house, being angry. He didn't say, well, they got a lot on their plate right now. He didn't say, well, it's about a season. I told him in Sunday school, Exodus 34:14 says, the name of God is jealous. Every time I read where God is a jealous God, it is in conjunction with them constructing idols.
Yes.
People, we may not worship poles, but we've constructed idols in our lives. And God dealt harshly with them in the Old Testament. And you want to know my take about Jesus flipping over the tables? He said that you won't make my temple into a house of commerce and whatnot. And he started flipping tables. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So how should sin be responded to? With violence. Tells us in 2 Corinthians, take our thoughts captive to the obedient Christ until all disobedience is punished.
Yes.
And we swing around here with a bad attitude, with a chip on our shoulder. Arrogant, prideful.
Yes.
Why? Because self is still on the throne, guys. And then you want prayer because this is still going on in your life, guys. And I love you and I'll pray for you. Whatever you need, I'll pray for you. I'll walk with you. Because I've missed the mark so much, there's no stones in my pocket, ladies and gentlemen. But I've got to preach this truth the way it's to be taught. Or I'll stand before Him someday and say, why did you itch their ears? We got to get real, guys. Not just you, I'm saying we. I'm included in we. Why? Because I want to see God move. I'm ready. Maybe I say that. Maybe I'm like the guy that says, I'll follow you wherever you go right now. I don't know. But I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing these little kids hurt.
Yes,
we have the hope of glory inside of us. too busy worrying about ourselves. And we walk past the person who is bleeding, hurting, and bruised. Where's the compassion of Jesus in our life? To know God is to know love. I teach school. I send kids home not knowing what they go home to. Little kids hear the stories that was told. Arrest, sickness, death, self-destructive, sabotaging their life. And we can come in here and we can hoot, holler, praise the Lord. And that's all great. But we can walk right past them, not even a changed person. And where did he say? He said to go. Why? It says, then the master of the house, it says, so the servant came and reported, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly. Now, wait a while, guys. Wait a while. Just chill for a little bit, okay? Just sit back, relax. It says, go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you have commanded, and there still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go again. Why? He wants his house full. Listen, the whole thing was Christ coming into earth so that you and I can live and his house be full. That you can be reconciled with God who knew you in your mother's womb. You're not a mistake this morning. He loved you with a burning passion that no one can touch, no one can equal. He has a passion for you. Anybody that would rather die than live without me has got my attention. And he opened himself up, was marred like no other, bled, suffered, and died. And even the people that put him there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't want what they do. He still was still walking in love and truth and justice and forgiveness, tacked onto those two sticks. He did it so you and I can live. Don't you want to give him everything? Don't you want to make and fulfill his will on earth, that his house would be full, that we have a big family together? What is so important in this life that would distract us, to cause us to make excuse and to live from that expression of life? Is it a sport? Is it a hobby? Is it money? Stuff that you can't take with you. What is more important, a child seeing her family come to know Christ or making another buck? It's not just children, guys. It's a prodigal that's 45 years old, that's strung out on crack and cocaine. The only thing they know is survival and getting through the next day. Where's the compassion of Christ to the church that wants to reach out and say, I'm going to walk with you. And my patience is going to outlast your disobedience. Because love is patient and is kind. Where's the church that hopes all things, endures all things, bears all things, and believes all things? Because that's what love of God is. Because he's stuck with you. See, we want grace sometimes, but we don't want to give it. We want forgiveness, but we don't want to give it. Because we got touched in the wrong way, and we feel like we have a right, but you have been purchased and bought with a price. You can think that way, but your thinking's wrong. He says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men who are invited shall taste my supper. That's strong language, guys. Yes. Now let's go on. It says, now great multitudes were with him. Now we have many. Yes. And he turned and he said to them, he drops a plumb line of truth. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Is he telling you to hate your family? No. He's saying that there's a love for me that we need to get to, that I am first and foremost, and that's where excuses and the word no comes to die. What are you going to do if you're married and your spouse doesn't want to do the will of God and God tells you to do something? What are you going to do? Come on, guys. We can do this. And it says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. First thing he tells us, he told in another passage, another book, he says, deny yourself. That means self comes to die. Then you take up your cross and follow me. He goes on. It says, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost and whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And what king going out to war makes war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while others are still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all. Some? What does all mean in the Greek? All. See, there's times, guys, I hadn't been able to sing I Surrender All because I was lying. I didn't mean it. See, we could get into this robotic, lukewarm, go through the motions, don't come to church expecting God to move, just take our seat, sit down, endure the moment, endure His preaching, and go home the same way we came in. Not refreshed, not filled, not stirred up, not fanned the flame, nothing. God could be moving in a very powerful way and we got our hands in our pockets. I'm not saying you have to raise your hands or whatever. I'm just saying. There's a level of stagnant. There's a level of familiarity. There's a level of acceptance. It's just the way it is. This is church. This is what I do. I'm a Christian because I go to church. Jesus spoke more. What is he saying? Count the cost. Am I worth the cost? Am I worth the sacrifice? Are you willing to give it all? Are you hoping for some and then just go to heaven? Come on, guys. It's some or all, or it's none. He says, you cannot be my disciple. It's not that he doesn't want you to. He just knows. He knows that whatever the thing is in your life comes calling, or multitude of things, you will go that direction instead of following him. Yes. It's the double-minded man that's unstable in all of his ways. Why? Because you got two paradigms working against each other. And even if God wanted to deposit a dream or truth, you come up with all this stuff and these excuses and rationalizations why you can't do it or why you don't have time to do it. And all the while, we kind of sashay through life like everything's good. Come on, let's be a church that no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, we're going to reach this community. No matter what time we have to put in, no matter how many sunburns we have to get, or how many kids with snotty noses we have to hug, no matter how many elderly we have to sit and listen to the same story over and over and over again, we are going to love passionately. And through that love, we're going to tell them about the love of Christ. We're going to give up some things. We're going to forsake it all. It's good to rest. It's good to get away. But you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. If it's not the time, then it's not the time. We're people of the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit of God. You who are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And see, I'm coming at you today. I'm not telling you to go to the street corner, get you a box and start preaching. I'm asking you, what is God telling you to do now? Is it your neighbor across the street that you've given no time to? Amen. Is it your neighborhood? Is it your little community there? Is it the apartment complex? Whatever it is. What is God birthing in you to go? That His house may be filled. What about Him? What about what He wants? It says He works and wills in us for His good pleasure. Not ours, His good pleasure. And through that, we get to partake in that very pleasure. I think I'm laughing because it's so quiet. I'm still feeling good. Oh. This is it. He wants disciples. He wants people that are willing to forsake all. I mean, I hear stories of missionaries who take one-way tickets to nations with $30 in their pocket, and now they're building universities because they trust their God. They don't sit around Him all day. Well, I don't know if you can do that, Father. You say nothing's impossible, but I'm going to question that. And I heard this dear lady that I love to listen to talking about people come over and they want millions of dollars, guys, to do these great things. And that's noble and it sounds great. But then she'll ask them to sit down with this little elderly lady and just help her and wash her hair and clip her toenails. And they don't want to do that because it's not big and grandeur. I'm not asking you to look for the big. I'm just saying, are you being faithful in the small? Are you stopping for the one? Because if people become numbers to us and just our next project, there's no love there. Love saying, I want to commune with you. Amen? He goes on to say this. He says, salt is good, but the salt has lost its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who hears it to hear, let him hear. He says, salt is good. The message preserves life, guys. It's the flavor of this earth. Guess what? There's a lion voice in this land and he lives inside of you. But you got to let him roar. There's a light that burns so pure and bright and he lives inside of you. But you got to let him burn. There's a salt that produces preservation and flavor in this earth, but you got to shake it out. If not, it remains dormant in you and helps nobody but yourself. That is not the image of our King. Image our King so walk past somebody and saw compassion upon people. Image of our King saw 5,000 people or whatever. Eric talked about 2 fish, 5 loaves. He had compassion upon the people because they were hungry. It was a physical need. But he was drawn because that's who he is. God is love. And you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And he so loved these people. He's like, we got to do something about it. But guess what? I'm going to step out of the way so I can create a disciple here. You guys feed them. You learn about the ability of my Father. And you give what's in your hand. You give it all away, young man, and you see what God can do. But it means nothing if he goes home. He feeds those of his family, and that's it. And the move of God never takes place. And what are you doing? Come on, guys. What are you doing? It means nothing if it just sits up inside of us. You were never created to be a lake. You were created to be a river. Freely as you give, God continues to pour himself into you. Why think otherwise? Why not live from that place? Yes. We get wrapped up, guys. Cares of this life chokes out the word. Deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word. It means it has no effect in you whatsoever because the life has been snuffed out. When it can breathe so much life into you, so much joy that you can't even talk about it because it's unspeakable. So much peace that's unexplainable. That way when all the winds and the waves and everything's flying around you, you look at peace and you laughing. Because God sets a table in front of your enemies saying, looky here. And then when you need rest, he makes you get down in those nice plush green pastures because he loves you and cares for you. and you're giving your life away, and He wants you restored and refreshed and renewed every single day of your life. Why can't we trust Him to that level that this community can be saved in Jesus' name? Why don't we let the lion roar that's inside of us? Not just in these walls where we're comfortable, but when we're out there and it's uncomfortable. Because God gave us a comforter in the Holy Spirit. Why don't we let the Spirit move through us like we've never seen before? Why don't we be a church that when people should be offended, we start loving and they start hitting our love buttons? Why don't we just start being the givers of this community? And the whole time walk in humility before our God, knowing it's not us and it's not about us. You think the world is looking for something different? You think they're looking for more religion? Or are they looking for a believer that God has set on fire, that is burning with His love and compassion, that loves them no matter what the mess that they're in, because they know they're not judged? Come on now, what are we going to be? Are we going to be that church that goes out of here and does a tip because she didn't, your steak was a little bit too rare? Or the waitress who had a bad day come to you and said something a little bit salty to you, so now you're offended? I can see Jesus doing that. Well, this steak, young lady, it's terrible. And you come over here with that attitude, I'm taking this and I'm putting it right back in here just to prove you a point. Who cares that you have four kids at home that you're trying to support? Who cares? You were snarky to me, and I don't like it, and I have a right because I'm an American. Some people hate Sundays because of the church folks. God help us. Who's to say that you don't pour out a double portion upon that table and send her a note because God gave you a word of knowledge? Say, God's got your back. Is that too much? Is that too much to give? Is that too much to give? Won't love be our response? I love what Dan Muller says. You squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. You squeeze an apple, you get apple juice. So why, when you squeeze a Christian, when the pressure comes on, why is Jesus not coming out? Why are you seeing the ugliness that we still try to carry? I dream of a day we ball up like a fist and we punch through the darkness. I dream about a day where we come truly dead to ourselves and His life living through us. I dream of a day where the power is so thick that every sickness is being healed. I believe, guys. All it takes is one person to have the audacity to believe that nothing is impossible with God. To step out there when everybody's the naysayer and telling them, look, that's too much. That's, you're going too far. You're going to flame out. What if one of us, 10 of us, all of us had the audacity to say, no, no, I believe my King. And I believe what He can do through me. And I believe that sorrow and sickness. Look this way, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You still with me? Love you. I don't know if that matters right now, but I do. What you read is what I read. There's no exemptions. There's no attaboys. Just because I preached it, if I don't live it, I prove myself to be a hypocrite. And I told you, my life is the greatest sermon I'll ever preach. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. What a great day that would be, right? Our faith becomes sight. High and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And two He flew. Unique character. And one cried one to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. If you don't know what to pray, why don't you just join in? If you don't know what to say, just join in with heaven. And on the post of the door were shaken by the voice who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Oh, the Shekinah glory. Oh, we want that, don't we? Come on, I'm just crazy enough to believe there's more. It's not so much that he's withholding, it's that this mind needs to be renewed. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. What was his response to this pure burning light? Guess what God exposed? His sin. How can we stand before God and not be exposed? Guess what, guys? I'm exposed before you today. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. I'm telling myself because I believe God wanted me to be transparent this day. God has been speaking to me about doing some stuff. And I've turned my life into an about-to Christian. I've been wrong. I'm talking about you. You might be clear and everything good with you. This might be for me today, and that's fine. Because I'll be healed. But he told me that I need to humble myself and be transparent. And I've disappointed. I've made excuses. I'm about to. About to, God. I'm about there. About to. Now, volunteering stuff. You guys see me. I'm around. I do a lot of stuff. Don't misunderstand this. That's part of it. But no, there's something he's been speaking in the stillness of my heart. That I need to get out and get going and get doing. Yes. And I've been saying, God, let me get through basketball season. Because I coach basketball. Then it became soccer. God, let me get through soccer season. Then God, let me finish up the end of school. And then let me get through camp, God. I keep doing what? I keep making excuses to push back the inevitable. And in reality, I prove myself I'm not being fit to be his disciple. Because I'm being pulled in too many directions as opposed to the heart being leading by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that sounded good, but I said it. What is God speaking to you? What have you been slack on? You may not even, you may have a call on your life. Are you rejecting it? God may have been speaking to you certain things to go tell somebody, will you forgive me? And you're an about to Christian just like me. Still disobedience. Those who love him will keep his commands. Yes. If we love him, we'll obey him because we trust him. And I've been an about to Christian for so long. And I still pray. And look, guys, very sly we are. I still go and I still pray the same things. And then I begin to question, God, why are you not? And I keep going back to. Yes. He won't let it go. Because he knows my heart. He knows I want to be like him. Step one, Ray. Faithful in that, and we'll talk later. Are you about to? Are you still just telling him no? You won't do it. You won't do it. You're being a little prideful looking at your ability instead of his ability. Come on. You're looking at yourself to say, I cannot do this. You're letting money stand in the way. You're letting time stand in the way. Come on, again, we got to be the church that it's no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, and forsaken all. And I'm calling you this morning. Because what Isaiah's response is, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't know what he was saying. Gossiping, lying, I don't know what he was doing. But then he saw a larger picture. He says, I'm in a land, a people with unclean lips. His heart began to break for the whole nation. That hard surface was beginning to crack as the love of God was pouring into him. And God, who is rich in mercy, does what? He says, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand and a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my lips. And behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity has been taken away, and your sin is purged. Thank you, Jesus, for his mercy, right? Amen. So I'm calling you to mercy today, but I'm calling you first to repentance. I'm saying that. And it may be one, it may be all, I don't know. Wherever this lands, let it fall. You've been an about-to Christian. God has been speaking to you about things and you've been putting it off. and you're aware now of your excuses, and you want to follow Him more than anything, and today's your day to be set free. And then what does God say? He says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." Let's go with a clear conscience. Let's go with a pure heart, clean hands. I'm not about striving. I'm not about trying to work our way up into things, guys. I'm about relationship and just doing what He tells me to do. Because I love Him and I'm in love with Him. And I know that I've been hurtful. And I've seen other things in my life come back to me because I've been rejecting what God has been telling me to do. And if I'm the only one that gets on my knees before God today, then so be it. I love you. Amen. I'm going to ask the team to come. Just play something kind of soft. I think they're going to play that "It Is Well." What does that song say? "It Is Well." That means the rest of God. The rest of God means we're fully in faith. Right? And also that part, I love it because it says what? "Let go my soul and trust in Him." If you're holding back in any way, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any insight to your life right now. But if you want to join me in repenting, I would ask you to come. If you're too nervous to come, I ask you to stay at your seat. It doesn't matter. It's between you and Him. But I need forgiveness. And I need to get moving quickly. So come. If you so choose, and I'm going to lead a prayer over you. And after we pray, I'm going to ask God to release dreams in you and assignments and the compassion of heaven to come upon you. The rest of you guys can stand. Just worship Him for a moment.
Move by the sound of His voice. Seas that are unshaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my ego.
We lose our ability to say no, guys. Let's lose our ability to say, "I'll do it tomorrow." Let's be faithful in the small. Let it go.
My soul and trust in Him. The ways and wind still know His name.
Ways are pure and it's right. He's true.
Still know His name. Listen in. Still know His name.
Father, we just come before You today. We humble ourselves under Your mighty hand. God, we're sorry. We're sorry for hesitating. We're sorry for saying about to. We're sorry for saying no. We're sorry for making excuses. We're sorry for the distractions. Our heart truly burns for You. We want to live for You, God. We don't hear condemnation, God. I hear a Father who's wooing us in. As we get away further from the shore, that we're going in head over heels into You, God. Father, I pray in my voice, God, everybody, including myself, God, will put their hand to the plow and never look back again. That we will forsake it all. That we'll love You, God, because I believe if we love You first, that all our relationships will be okay. We trust you, God. Forgive us for not trusting. Forgive us for walking in doubt. Forgive us, Lord God, for any duplicity in our lives. Forgive us for any sin that has entangled us. Any burdens that has weighed us down and God has caused us to think about ourselves and our lives instead of looking to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, God. Father, I pray for the fear of you to come upon us, Lord God. Father, we stay on our face before you and stay humble before you, God. That we never get an idea in our head that it is us and our abilities. Father, I pray for these dear people today, God. I don't know what you're doing, what you're speaking, Lord God. I pray, God, Lord, that their answer today is yes, Lord, yes, Lord. God, I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've made it. I'm sorry, Lord God, for not living it true. So, God, I know what I need to do, God, and I walk out of here today, Lord, with my chin up, Lord, knowing that your grace is sufficient. And knowing when I'm weak, you're strong. And I know the job that's in front of me, God. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. You burn so bright. You are the lion's voice in this land. You are the salt of the earth, Lord, and you live inside of us. God, we receive your word with great joy today because we created in your image and we want to live like you, talk like you, walk like you. So, Father, Lord, I pray right now for everyone. God, I pray for new assignments and new dreams, Lord God, to come upon them, Lord God. And your answer will be yes, Lord. Yes, 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 I'll do your bidding. Yes, I'll be your ambassador to my neighborhood. Yes, I'll be your ambassador at work. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will stay and sit with those who need help. I will have the compassion of you in my heart so full, God, that it leaks upon everybody. I say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. I'll be faithful in the small, God. I'll be faithful in what you give me. And when you want to exalt me, so be it, God. But let me stay even more humble as I go, that I can walk with you, my God, my Father. And Jesus, that I can follow you. That I can follow you and look like you and burn like you and be the light, God, that you've called me to be. Father, I thank you in advance, God, for the salvations that are to come. I thank you in advance for the bodies that are healed. I thank you, God, Lord, for the poor that is taken care of and for the thirsty getting a cup of water, Lord God, for the naked getting clothes, Lord, for food going into the bellies of the hungry. I thank you in advance because, God, you're good and you're doing something in our midst, Lord. You're moving us and shaking us and stirring us up, God. Fan the flame of every gifting that's in here, Lord God, that we could see the identity of who we are and whose we are, that we walk out of here with the authority of Christ that burns in us, that we could shake towns and shake cities, Lord God, for your name. And like Paul with the creative miracles, Lord God, it said the whole area knew of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was made famous. So God, we stand before you this day and say, no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, use us, God. Here we are, God. We say, send us, send me, Lord, to bring it down to an individual level, God. Oh, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for the crime rates going down. I thank you, God, for little boys and little girls having godly parents, God. Houses and homes being restored, God, in your namesake, and houses being saved. Yeah. Oh, what joy it is, God, to see you move. So, God, we repent before you, God, for making it what we have. We repent this day, God. We change our mind. We change our minds, so let our minds be renewed. So when we walk out of here, we're transformed. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I pray for the gifts of prophecy to fall upon people, the gifts of word of knowledge and mercy, God, of giving, Lord God, the gifts that you give us so that we can reach this dying world, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, the harvest is great, God. So we pray the laborers to come forth, Lord, the laborers to come forth. Oh, you're so good, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.